Oh, great God, it is indescribable, inexplicable, and yet blatantly true that your mercy is more than all of our sin. Our sins, they are many. What kindness you have lavished upon us in the person of Christ Jesus. We praise you today that your mercy is more. We thank you that where sin abounded, grace abounded more. That there is a way to be made right with you. There's a way to be forgiven of our sins. And His name is Jesus. We pray all these things in His name. Amen. Good morning, Grace Fellowship Church. We do not live in New York City, so we don't yet have to consider how we would react to vaccine passports. Beginning August 16th, with enforcement beginning September 13th, a person in New York City must show proof of at least one vaccination in order to enter any businesses. Either a paper vaccination or a New York City COVID safe application on your device or Excelsior pass. We don't have that issue, and yet I think we'd be wise to be preparing ourselves for whatever might come our way. We do have this. Jamie Mullen, Regional Marketing Manager for Unity Point Health, announced Thursday the hospital system will require employees to be vaccinated by November the 1st, whether they provide direct patient care or not. The decision will affect more than 32,000 employees in three states. Those who choose not to be vaccinated are subject to voluntary resignation or termination. Medical and religious exemptions will be allowed, and women who are pregnant will be allowed for temporary deferrals. Genesis Health System. Genesis also announced Thursday that it will require physicians and employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19, but did not set a deadline or state an employee's job would be in jeopardy if they refused. The decision affects about 5,200 employees. Really not interested in arguing the merits of a vaccination. I am interested in having us to consider what price we are willing to pay. In other words, what is our decisions in the Lord? What is it that will press us to one decision or another? We've talked about this before, but Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God's what is God's. And I think it's inarguable that our bodies are God's. We are stewarding these bodies for God. And so the government has no place to tell us what to do with our bodies. You can decide, one can decide whatever they would want to decide. Without sin, what they do with their bodies. And by the way, dads and moms, we're responsible. I have this conversation we had the other night at theology night. We're responsible for the protection of our children. And so we talk about things like having guns and what we would do to protect our children. We're responsible to protect our children from what would go into their bodies. No matter what the cost might be. That you know, we talk about a crazed intruder coming into our households to attack our families and our job to protect them. Well, the crazed intruder could be our government. I'm not saying that it is. I'm saying that it could be. So I don't really want to argue about the efficacy of a vaccination. I want us to consider the decisions we'll make and based upon what will we make them. And being knowledgeable. I saw somewhere And I don't even know the, but it, the four stages of controlling someone is first you make them fearful, and then you congratulate them for doing a good thing, and then you bribe them, and then you forcefully implement whatever it is you want. So be careful about tyranny, and remember our obligation to protect ourselves and our children. Whatever comes our way. Because again, actually we have someone who works at one of these places. We'll have to consider that with her husband. I don't know how long it is until many of us might have to deal with that in our workplace environments. Maybe never. But we ought to be ready because it's coming. It's here. It's here in some places, and that's inarguable. Okay. We're in Colossians chapter 3, and we are in a second part of the rules for Christian homes and the sufficiency of Christ. As I talked about last week, the title of the sermon, there's rules for Christian homes. And actually, there's rules for all homes, but for Christian homes. There are rules for Christian homes, and rules without the ability to follow those rules would be cruel. And so we talk about the sufficiency of Christ to then live out these rules that God's given us. He provides forgiveness for when we don't hit that mark, we don't obey those rules. So He provides forgiveness in Christ, and He provides power in Christ to be sanctified and to live by God's commands more in a more Christ-like manner. So let's stand, and I will read verses 18 through 21 again. Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You may be seated. This is the word of God. It's the word of Christ that by hearing, faith comes. And the word of Christ that is to dwell abundantly in those who have been saved and have believed on Christ. The word of Christ is to save and is to sanctify. Last week, I mentioned the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Glorifying God is our main purpose. That is the main purpose as the pinnacle of God's creation, mankind, made in His image. Our duty, our purpose is to glorify God. And as Christians, that is our desire. As Christians, we do everything in the name of the Lord. Verse 17, and whatever you do, Christians, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. We are to live our lives consistent with who the Lord Jesus is, our Lord, our Kurios, our Master. This is who Jesus is, beloved. Amen? He is our Lord. And we're to live our lives, our thanksgiving to God is to be lived out through an obedience to our Lord. This is how we will live as Christians in our homes. I argue last week, I would say that there's many ways to glorify God. I would argue that in this particular context that we find ourselves in, and probably forever, the first place of battle is to be lights in a crooked and wicked generation is in our homes. That's a place where we can shine the light of Christ in our homes and as our homes go out into the world around us. So wives are to submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Wives are to submit, hupotasso. It's fitting in the Lord. Wives, it is fitting in the Lord for you to subject yourselves to the control of your husbands. Recognize and live out the reality of His headship over you. To the extent, wives, that you believe the church should submit to Christ, that is to the extent to which you are to submit to your husbands. To whatever extent you believe the church is to submit itself, herself, to Christ, that is the extent to which you are to submit yourselves to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Husbands, it is our sinful tendency, and I'm thinking that you probably see this in your lives, and last week's sermon was useful, at least the testimonies were. The tendency in our lives are to be angry and irritated and become marked by resentment or cynicism toward our wives. God says don't do that. This is the rules. And Christ is sufficient. We are to regard them with affection. We are to have a high regard for them. We are to consider them and treat them as precious. Husbands, to whatever extent you believe Christ treats His bride, you, as precious, that is the extent to with which you are to treat your wife as precious. To whatever extent you think Christ would go to love you, husbands, you are to love your wives in that manner. To whatever extent you think that should be. To whatever extent God has shown us, that is the extent to which we, husbands, are to love our wives and not be harsh with them. These are our conjugal duties. Submission and love. Now we have these rules for wives and husbands. And now we have rules for children. We have rules for children. Taylor Hudson had a quote about how he lives his life based on these three premises. And I think this is really good. One, there is a living God. Two, He has spoken in the Bible. There's a living God and He has spoken. Three, He means what He says. And He will do all that He has promised to do. There's a living God, He has spoken, and He means what He says, and we can count on His promises, all of His promises He will do. Now, most children in here today have not confessed Christ as their Lord. A child, and what we're looking at, and children obey your parents, a child is techna. It can be any age of a child, and really it has to do with a child that's still living under the authority of their parents. So pretty much every child in here, Amanda's a relatively old child. Even though she's a young woman, she's still living in her parents' home, all the way down to, I don't know the kids' ages anymore, but you know, Aubrey, any of the children, that's who's being spoken to here. And it says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, I want you to listen every week you come to Lord's Day Gathering. But I especially implore you to listen to me today well. whether you're an old child or a young child, I implore you to listen to my words, because this is who he's talking to. Today, God is speaking to children. He's addressing you specifically. This is the only specific instruction God gives to children as to how they are to live in their home with their parents. It's the only instruction. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Hupokuo is what the word obey is. See, children, how you can glorify God is to obey your parents. Hupokuo. It means to hearken. Listen, children, I want you to listen to me all day today. To hearken to a command. The word is hupo, under, kuo, listen or hear. So what you're being told is you are to listen to and hear your parents, to obey what they tell you. It was a word that they used to answering the door. So a job of a doorman was to listen for the door being knocked at and then attend to that as soon as he heard it. So children, you're being told to listen for your parents' commands and attend to them when you hear them. Children, hearken to the commands of your parents. Ephesians 6:1, the parallel passage, says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I don't think we fully understand how important this command is to God. Parents, children, everyone, listen. How important is this command to God? Does he mean it? He's spoken. We pass it off sometimes as, well, kids will be kids. We pass it off sometimes like, well, I can't. We pass it off as, after all, everyone violates, and these are just innocent children that don't know any better. Well, children, if you can understand my voice today, you're going to know better after today if you haven't known better before this. You are to obey your parents in everything. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. This is what Paul's saying in Ephesians. He's referencing back to the law. Okay, the law in Exodus chapter 20, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord God is giving you. Honor, the word is chaved. Chaved, and it means heavy, weighty, honored. The word means to give great weight to. Children, you are to give great weight to your parents. You are to consider them weightily. Like they're a big deal. They're to be honored. You are to give, look, we all know this, but the table, the commandments, the first four commandments have to do with what? Our duty to whom? Children? To God. And the second six commandments have to do with our duty to whom? To our fellow man. And the law is all encapsulated in love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the first of the duty to your fellow man, the first of those commandments is honor your father and your mother. Give them great weight. Hearken to what they would tell you. What comes after? Honor your parents. Don't murder. No adultery. No thievery. No lying. No coveting. See, honor your parents. I'm not saying it's more important, but I am saying it comes before don't murder. The first of the love your neighbor commands is honor your father and your mother. Obey them. Weighty. This is really important to God. It isn't to be taken any more lightly than murdering. Hear me on that. The law that says thou shalt not murder also before that says honor your father and your mother. Jesus, children, Jesus said to the Pharisees, who by the way were dishonoring their parents by not caring for them financially in their older years. And he's speaking to these Pharisees who weren't honoring their parents. And he said this, for God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Whoever dishonors their father and mother deserves to die. Look what God says in His law about children and how they interact with their parents. Exodus 21:15. Children, are you listening to me? Whoever strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. It didn't say kill him. It said just hit him. God says if you would even hit your parents, you deserve death, child. This was the law. This was the law for Israel. This is how much God says He disdains dishonoring parents. In verse 17, He says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. Not just killing, not just hitting, but cursing. Their father and mother shall be put to death. In Leviticus 20, verse 9, we see the same word for curses. For anyone who curses his father and mother shall surely be put to death. The word there for curses is kalal. And it means slight or trifling or of little account. It means showing little regard for an object. So God says, give great weight to your parents. And if you lightly regard them, and you don't really listen to what they say, and you're disobedient, then you deserve death. The opposite of honoring is cursing. When a child refuses to listen to their parents, they're making them of little value, of little account. Father or mother, children, God puts at a very high value honoring and obeying your parents. And those who don't honor them, don't hearken to their command, those who curse them, who hold them of little value or don't pay much attention, deserve death. Are you hearing what God thinks about honoring your parents? I mean, really, are you hearing me? There's a living God. And He has spoken in His Word. And He means what He says. And He will carry out all of His promises. Remember when God gave the law to the children of the first generation of Israelites? In the book of Deuteronomy, the first generation was not going to enter, so He's giving the law again to the next generation. He says this in Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. So if a man has a child who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, And though they discipline him, we see in their parents were to be disciplining our children, they will not listen to them. So you have a child who's being disciplined, trained, disciplined, who will not listen to their father or will not listen to their mother. Then his father, listen to this, children, what God thinks of this. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this is our stubborn son. It's our stubborn and rebellious. So the parents are to take this rebellious child to the elders of the city and say, this is our stubborn and rebellious child. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Now, I grant you, as far as I know, none of you are gluttons and drunkards. But what God is saying is we've disciplined him. He's a rebellious son. We bring him before the elders and say, here's our child. This is our child who is rebellious. Then all of the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Do we think that God hates the sin of disobedience to parents? Do we see that? Are we going to pass it off as, oh, well, I'm just a kid? Parents, are we going to pass it off as, oh, well, they're just a kid? God has great punishment promised to children who do not listen to their father or listen to their mother. This should cause a great fear of God in those who break his law in this way. Children, this ought to frighten you. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So, is what God's telling you, children, well, here's what you got to do. You got to obey. And then if you can obey well enough, you'll please God. Well, let's see. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Children, how can you please God? By obeying your father and mother? Only by faith. Only through faith. See, obeying your parents in everything is an impossibility, isn't it? And yet, God says that's what you're to do. Faith is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. The only way that you can please God, children, is living by faith. So if you don't believe that God exists and you don't believe that he rewards those who seek him, you can't please him. Children, if you break God's command to obey your parents in everything, and you know that you have earned God's wrath, you cannot please him by doing better. You are without hope in your ability to be obedient. And yet, you are to be obedient. If you know, children, if any of you in here are hearing my voice and you know right now that you are doomed, that based on what we've said so far is, you are to obey your parents to please the Lord, and you don't, and what you deserve then is death. And I've told you then you can't do good enough, no matter how hard you try. And you might know then that, then I'm doomed. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have not, children, put your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you're sitting there now knowing how much God hates a child's disobedience, put your faith in Christ. That's where you'll find forgiveness for your sins. See, every single child in here has violated God's command to obey their parents. Not to mention the other 9 commandments. But I think you can see that one clearly, can't you, children? Can't you see clearly that you disobey your parents at times? And you may try really hard. You try really, really hard, but you fail. Because the law says, obey perfectly. Hearken to their commands, and you can't. And if you see that, then what you can see in this moment is you can see your need for forgiveness of your sins of disobeying your parents. You can see that. Repent and be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Confess your sins, look to Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. What we've identified is the wages for your sin of disobeying and dishonoring your parents is death. Eternal damnation. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is hope for you to receive not what you've earned from God. Because what have you earned from God with your disobedience? You've earned judgment. You've earned His wrath. That's the wages you've earned. But the free gift of eternal life is in Christ. You don't have to receive what you've earned. But you first have to understand you've earned that. You must understand that God has spoken and He said, disobey, strike your parents, hate your parents, disobey your parents, treat them lightly. That's a violation of His commands. And like all other sins, those will be met with His judgment. And that's what you have earned. And you're hopeless except for the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14, earlier in this book, in whom we Christians, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Children, the only difference between you and the Christians in this room is not our being better than you. It is that we have received forgiveness. And it's available to you as well. See, we aren't Christians because we follow God's law. We're Christians because that law was our tutor to Christ. We're Christians because we put our hope in Christ because we cannot follow His law. Children, if you've been disobedient to parents, What you've earned is God's wrath, but what's available to you is forgiveness for those sins to be found in Christ. Do you know you need Christ? Confess Him. Believe on Him. Psalm 32:5. Children, listen, I acknowledge my sin to you. And I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Christians, this is what happened in our lives, wasn't it? We didn't cover over our sins. We confessed our sins. We knew of our sins. We acknowledged our sins. We confessed those sins. And God forgave us. Psalm 86:5, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Children, will you call upon Jesus today, right now, for the forgiveness of your sins? Will you do that? Will you come? Will you come to Christ and be forgiven? Will you call upon Jesus today, recognizing your sin of disobedience to parents, of lying, of anger, and all the violations of God's commands? Will you confess? Will you agree with God that you need a Savior? And then will you look to Christ, the one whose name you know? It's free. It's here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. There's a living God. He has spoken in His Bible. He means what He says. And He will do all that He's promised to do. You can count on it. Believe on Christ and you will be saved. God gave His Son. He sent Him into the world. His Son came to this world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He never sinned. He never once disobeyed His Father. His Father in heaven or His father and mother on earth. He lived a perfectly sinless life. He gave His Son to die on the cross for your disobedience to your parents, for your lying, for your anger. Will you confess your sins and turn to Christ? John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And if you have not obeyed your parents in everything, then what's upon you is the wrath of God. The death that you deserve, the eternal damnation you deserve, is what you've earned. That's what's upon you. And the only way to get that off of you is to believe on Christ. And when you believe on Christ, the wrath is gone. It's no more. Christians in this room, this is the gospel that you understand, that you believe, that you've lived. You recognize, yes, that you were under the wrath of God. You recognize that you were a sinner, separated from God. You recognize that His holiness was nothing you could meet and that you were called to that. And so you saw that, you confessed that, and you turned to Christ. Children, that's what you must do. Will you confess your sins before God and believe on Jesus today? Will you? And why won't you? The wrath of God is real. And the forgiveness of in Christ is real. Our sins, they are many. Children, your sins, they are many. His mercy is more. His mercy covers. The blood of Christ was shed to cover the sins of those who would put their faith in Him. Believers, some children here have confessed Christ. There are children here who are believers. These are the rules for the Christian life, and Christ is sufficient. He's sufficient for your salvation and to keep you saved, and He is sufficient to give you the right behaviors in Him toward your parents. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Christian children, in order to glorify God, you will be growing in the grace of honoring and being obedient to your parents. And when you don't, you will confess and be cleansed. You will be sanctified ongoingly. Believing children, just like your fathers who at times are harsh with your mothers. Believing children, just like at times your mothers are not submissive to your fathers. When you're not obedient to your parents, Christian children, Christ is sufficient to cover those sins, and Christ is sufficient to empower you to grow in holiness. That your heart would desire more and more. And practically you would more and more be obedient. Romans 8:1. Children, listen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Children, the word condemnation, kind of a big word. See, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But for those that aren't in Christ Jesus, there is only condemnation. You are condemned. You are condemned to death, eternal death. Your soul separated from God. But for those in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation. Brothers and sisters in this room, isn't there a wonderful reminder that in Christ there is no condemnation? That wrath of God that we've earned, we will never taste any of it. The vengeance of a holy God will never cross our paths. Because Christ took all of that on. We are in Christ, so there is no condemnation for us. Believing children, you have escaped the wrath of God as you fled to Christ. Unbelieving children, flee to Christ and rid yourself of any condemnation. Come to Christ where there's safety. Come to the God who saves you from Himself by Himself. This God who has given you the fifth commandment that you violate when you don't honor and obey your parents, this same God has given us a way to be made right with Him even in our violation of that. And His name is Jesus Christ. Do you believe that you are a sinner. Do you understand what it means to be a sinner is to be separated from God because of a violation of His law? Can you see that you're separated from God because you violate His law? Do you see that? If it frightens you, there's safety in Christ. There's no condemnation. It is finished. Christ is sufficient to take away all condemnation. Believing, brothers and sisters, remember that. Christ is sufficient to take away all condemnation. Rest in Him. Christ is sufficient to empower our sanctification. Rest in Him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. This is the rules for a Christian home. This is the rules that God has given us that we will fail at. These are the rules that Christ came and fulfilled. Today is the day of salvation, children. Today is the day that you believe on Christ. Turn from your sin. Confess your sins before God. And receive the forgiveness that's found in Christ. That is the free gift of God. Opposite, set against the wages of sin that is death. Closing thought. Living out God's design in our homes will differentiate us from the world around us and bring glory to His holy name. While it is true that as Christians we are not capable of living in these ways in our flesh, however, Christ is sufficient to empower the holy living that He commands. He is also sufficient to bring forgiveness to those who are under the rightful wrath of God due to their sins against Him. Unbelieving children, will you believe on Christ right now for the forgiveness of your sins and reconciliation to our vengeful and gracious God? Parents, when you go home today, I'd encourage you to ask your children if they will come to Christ and live. Father, you are such a good God, so kind and merciful to us. You have not treated us how we have deserved and earned to be treated. You've been merciful to us through Christ. Father, you have promised that anyone who confesses the name of Christ will be saved, and that none will be turned away. Pray, Father, for your Spirit to work. That all of the truths that our children would know about you and about them, Father, that would lead them to repentance. That your kindness to them, even in hearing the gospel this morning, would lead them to repentance. Confession of Christ as Lord. That you would be creating in them broken and contrite hearts, God. All for your glory. In Christ's sake. Amen. Let's stand and sing A Christian Home. 346. 346.